volunteer to open an order of prayer.
Father, just thank you for another day. Might be a little gloomy outside, but it's not gloomy in here. Father, just thank you for another day to just listen to hear your word, and Father, let it to just flow through each and every in this room. And Father, just help us to live in your will in each day that we have. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the 10 a.m. Is it 10 a.m.? Yes. No. Yes, it's the 10 a.m. Wings Adult Discussion Sunday School Class. Wow. Oh, that's always a mouthful. Every time that we get started reading, and I do a little reading in the morning, and I say, oh, this is a very dry part of the scripture. And doesn't God always give us something beautiful out of his word, no matter what the actual subject is? He always blankets us in his love. So does anybody have, we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 today. I think we about finished chapter 5, unless anybody has anything that they want to bring forth out of that. Does anybody have an Amplified Bible?
I got one right here.
Okay, why don't we just go ahead and read? I think we need to go up through...
I just pulled it up on my phone.
Yeah, I think we need to go like through verse 11 and then stop.
Okay. Go ahead then.
Sure.
Does any one of you who has a civil complaint, dispute with another believer, dare to go to law before unrighteous men, non-believers, instead of placing the issue before the saints of God's people? Do you not know that the saints of God's people will one day judge the world? If the world is to be judged by you, are you not competent to try trivial and insignificant petty cases? Do you not know that we believers will judge angels? How much more then, as a matter of this life? So if you have lawsuits dealing with matters of this life, you appointing those as judges to hear disputes who are of no account in the church. I say this to your shame. Can it be that there is not one wise man among you who is governed by integrity and will be able and competent to decide private disputes between his fellow believers? But instead, brothers go to law against brothers, and that before judges who are unbelievers. Why, the very fact that you have lawsuits with one another is already a defeat. Why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be defrauded? On the contrary, it is you who wrong the defrauded, and you do this even to your brothers and sisters. You said verse 9, didn't you? Do you not know unrighteousness will not inherit or have any share in the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral or idolaters, nor adulterers, nor infant by perversion, nor those participate in homosexuality. Mm-hmm. Verse 10 says, nor thief, nor greedy, mm-hmm. nor drunkard, nor reveler.
I think we're going to 11.
Okay. Whose words are used as weapons to abuse, insult, and humiliate, intimidate, or slander, nor swindlers will inherit or have any share in the kingdom of God. And such were some of you before you believed, but you were washed by the astonishing sacrifice, atoning sacrifice of Christ. You were sanctified, set apart for God, and made holy. You were justified, declared free of guilt in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit of our God, the source of the believer's new life and changed behavior, the body of the Lord's. Mm-hmm. That was it. Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. You might not know this, but Oscar actually experienced this in real life in the church. And he gave great counsel to the individual. The individual chose to ignore his counsel, go to the world, and was not, let's see, what was the word I want to say?
Did not benefit from that judgment. Is that fair to say that?
Right. And would have benefited from his counsel if they'd have healed to it. Now, I said all that to say this. Have you ever talked to anybody that didn't want to hear what you were saying?
Oh, yeah.
And maybe, you know, I ain't talking about our opinions. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you knew that you were talking actually through the Lord. The Lord was speaking through you to that individual to restore. Mm-hmm. Well, I start to say my experience. But the facts are this. None of us can change anything of anybody else. I believe that's on purpose. God designed that on purpose. Why? Because then they would give us credit for doing it. That's why it's so important that we maintain him receiving all the glory. And let's not run an interference with that. And I think that's why he wants them to come to him. But, I mean, as he's reading this, I'm going like this. I know exactly what happened here in that individual. But you know what? When people don't want to receive, I'm not going to say, because you've said it, and I'm probably misquoting, but the multitude, the counsel of the multitude that's in the faith, that's in the body of Christ, when they deny that, they're actually denying that which would make them complete or make them whole. Mm-hmm. I think whole is a better word. And there's nothing we can do about it. I mean, you know, I'm saying we, but it wasn't me because I wasn't there. But I know the same individual that was wanting counsel from him went and said something to one of the elders years ago that, you know what? You guys haven't fixed my roof. And this is true. And the elder said, excuse me, what? And he said, yeah, my roof's been leaking for a month and you guys haven't fixed it. And this is how people think. This is so real. This is how they think. They think that you're so close to God because of your position. They look at elders as a position. That you're so close to God, you ought to be hearing his voice saying, she's got a leaky roof, you need to fix it. Now, I'm telling the truth. And you know what that elder said to him? Well, who did you tell? Fair. I think that's a fair question. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm telling you now. No, before now, who'd you tell? Well, I didn't tell anyone. So she actually thought that we had a direct line with God that he was going to say that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know so many different stories that are close to that. Why couldn't you see my son going into this? You're an elder in the church. Why couldn't you see him be misled and come against that? Same reason we can't see, where are you? Well, I'm being honest with you. That's why I'm not mentioning no names. Where are you 6 months of the year? When we're gathering in his name, where are you? And we're supposed to know all this. I'll tell you what, God's people, and I'm saying it in honesty, God's people are fickle people. They're fickle people. And I was telling him, and the reason most people aren't in here or want to come in here, they don't want to grow up. They don't want accountability. But yet I think, in all honesty, we ought to hold each other to accountability. We ought to invite it. We ought to, you know, here, I need to be accountable. Let me be accountable to you. And when I'm not, I need you to tell me. I want to grow up. I want to see the body grow up. But you know what? None of us can do it without one another.
Amen to that.
I mean, that's time and time again. That's the word of God where it says, you know, that all those that have gone before us, mm-hmm. right, are in state of waiting until we come there.
Well, number one, God, Clyde, God doesn't want us to see what he doesn't want us to see.
Mm-hmm. Right, that's right.
You know.
Well, that's why he gave us a voice.
And if he does want us, it'll be in his timing, not anybody else's timing. Not someone like the roof thing, you know, it'll be in his timing. And that's the whole thing.
You don't
it's got to be
lessons.
In his timing.
Whether it's for us that we should start having telepathic knowledge of people's roofs, or whether it's for that
right.
person
what?
To learn, oh, if I have a need, I should take it before the others.
Well, what does it say in the portion of Scripture where it says, seek and you shall find, ask and it shall be, and knock and it, you know, shall be opened, or whatever. You
right.
ask, seek, and knock, or whatever. It's ask, knock, and seek. Okay. I think that's the way it works. No, it's A-S-K.
Mm-hmm.
Ask. The first letter of each one of those things. Mm-hmm. It's the ask. And if you don't ask, then you won't receive.
That's right.
And I know both of those instances he's talking about pretty well. In the one instance, I was told that a person had said, well, why didn't the elders, they're so spiritual, why didn't they pick up on this?
Oh, yeah.
And my reply to that was, I hope they don't come and say that to me. because I'm going to tell them. Why did you ever come around? Why you never come around? How are we supposed to know? And this might not have been a good thing to say, but I probably might have said this too. That happened in your house, and you didn't pick up on it.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you weren't you weren't spiritually in tune to where you should have been. Had you come around and been in church and been in the Lord, maybe you would have picked up on what was going on and been able to put it to
see, that's what I would have said, Oscar.
But I mean that's almost a little bit on the judgmental side.
Yeah,
so I might
right.
not have said that, but that would have definitely went through my head. But let me give you an example too. I have a cousin who was a magistrate in Claremont County, you know, Michael. And I love Michael. He cracks me up, you know. When we was kids, when he was like 5 years younger than me or something like that. When we were kids, he was the smartest kid I ever knew. I mean, you know, he reminded me a lot of Parker when Parker was a little big kid. I mean, Michael could read before he ever went to school, and you know, he could spell all kinds of words and stuff. And my books that I had for school were like 4 or 5 years ahead of him. I mean, he could read them and work the problems and all that stuff. He just was extremely smart, you know, but he was a Christian. You know, he's grown up now, he's a Christian, and he was a lawyer in the military. And when he got out, you know, he started his own law firm and stuff, and then he ended up being a magistrate in Claremont County. Well, you know, I asked him one time, I said, well, why don't you run for office? You know, because magistrates are appointed. They're judges that have been appointed. And he said, well, he said, my politics don't line up exactly with theirs. And he said, they would never elect me because of my politics, you know. I said, well, I said, you know, I know him, and I know his judgments would be really, really sound judgments. And here he was telling me, he says, yeah, he says, I had a case come before me the other day. Well, I don't remember if you remember when the years ago when the Hell's Angels were up in Claremont County, and they had a big shootout and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Well, that came before him. And man, he busted their chops. I mean, he big time. I mean, you know, and that's kind of dangerous because they could come back and shoot you or kill you or something. But I mean, he gave them like huge, bail bond amounts to get out of jail and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it was $100,000 and stuff like that. I mean, he was pretty rough on him. But he was telling me about this one trial he had, and he was telling me this at my mother's thing. And he said, yeah, he said, the other day, he said, I had these people come before me, and he said, they were getting a divorce. And I said, said, yeah. And he says, they couldn't come to no agreement. He said, there was this fuss, and even in court, you know, and he said, I had to tell him, you know, kind of calm down and all this stuff. And he said, after he listened to both of them, you know, tell their spiel, then he said, okay, here's what you do. He looked at the husband. He says, you go home, get all your stuff, and move out of the house, that your personal stuff. He said the wife was smiling ear to ear when he said that. He said, then he looked at the wife and he said, you go home, get all your personal stuff, and you move out of the house too. And don't come back before me until you two have made an agreement on what you're gonna do. He said, you've never seen two people get together so fast and get worked out in your life. And I said, well, Michael, that sounds like to me, Solomon say, split the baby in half.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Christian, that's Christian, mm-hmm. Christian wisdom. And you know what? That's what we need in judicial system. We need it everywhere. And you know, when Christians do really use the wisdom of the Lord, that's the kind of wisdom they will use, you know. And I mean, I know he's a Christian and he serves the Lord and all that stuff. But I mean, I had to smile when he told me that story. Because as soon as he told me that story, I said, yep. I said, well, that's Solomon. That's Solomon when they brought the baby, you know, that one mother said was her baby. And the other one said, no, said, give her the baby. Well, you know, he knew whose baby it was, you know. But I think he probably sensed it. But once she said that, you know, he knew she was the mother. So he gave the baby to her, you know. I'm sure you know what that story is, and you know, but you know, a lot of times that's the thing. The scripture says the saints are going to judge the world. A lot of people think that there's going to be a great white throne judgment and all this stuff, and God's going to sit there and he's going to judge everybody and all this and that. I got news for you. You're going to be the one doing the judging. It tells you right there. Mm-hmm. And you're going to be doing the judging, but you're going to judge with such mercy, such forgiveness, mm-hmm. such love. It's going to be out of love, not out of meanness or wanting to punish anybody or anything like that. And that was like last week when I talked to you all about the 144,000. And I told you that there was one of the original sons that was left out mm-hmm. of that 144,000. And the one that was left out was Dan. And he was replaced with one whose name was causing to forget.
Mm-hmm. Manasseh.
Yeah, Manasseh. Causing to forget. For you know, and we have to forget those things which are behind and press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. And we have to forget even things that people have done in the past and be a forgiving people. You know, that'll be the true judgment of God. You know.
I think when it comes down to it, what's going to happen? We're actually going to give the mercy that we've already received. And when you start living that mercy, it's just fruit that comes out of you.
Right.
I mean, you know, how would it be, you know, if you've seen that? Well, we're seeing it through different eyes now and through different understanding.
Yeah.
We're doing it through the mercy of God, you know.
Right.
And Debbie and me talked about this yesterday, about the mercy of God.
Right.
I go like this, come on. I said, mercy, I don't see 9 years old and on this earth. When I was 8, I should have been killed. Mm-hmm. My mom should have took me out and stoned him. I can't do nothing with him. That's the mercy I'd have got.
Yeah.
I said, but God saw fit to send his son to show his mercy that the world didn't know,
right. But
yet can have. We can have the mercy of God. What's it say? His mercies are new and afresh every day?
Excuse me, yes.
That kind of makes me feel pretty good.
Well, I got to tell you, more and more every day, I come to the conclusion that I have absolutely no control over anything.
Right.
And I don't want to have it.
Right.
Matter of fact, the more that I go along with and feel that way, and the more I let go of it, the better my life is. And that's the mercy of God in me. Because I don't have to make the judgment.
Yes, some of that is being in the world but not of the world. You know, when you're kind of just
Well, I think it's a fulfillment of what I told Josh years ago. In his hand is his plan.
Yes, right.
And he goes like, what shall pluck you out of my hand?
No.
Nothing.
No man.
And Josh told the chaplain up at the, what's that, the hospice?
Mm-hmm.
He said, that's how I'll be when I'm not here. Mm-hmm. I'll still be in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, I'm talking about the chaplain. He goes, yeah, that's why. You know, everybody's got a right to believe what they want to believe.
Well, we have to realize, you know, anything with, that has to do with judgment, that's where man's downfall came, so to speak, was they ate of the knowledge, see, of it, of good and evil. And that's where they begin to make the judgment, all this is good, all that's evil, all this is good, all that's evil. Well, you can't make those judgments because you don't know the whole situation, and you don't even know what God's purposes are in those situations a lot of times, you know. So it's kind of one of them situations where, you know, until we quit judging and eating of that tree, so to speak, and it wasn't a literal tree, but when we quit eating of that tree or the fruit of that tree, then we're going to find out that we'll only judge righteous judgment. And what did Jesus do when that woman that was caught in the act of adultery? When he didn't judge it. What did he do? He just sat down. He got down in the dirt and started writing stuff. Well, we don't know what he wrote, but I like to think that he probably wrote some things that every one of them people standing in that crowd had done, you know, without saying a word. You know, he probably, that's what I like to think. Now, maybe that's not right. I don't know. But I think he had a tendency that he wrote some things there. And then he looked up at him and he said, he among you that's without sin, cast the first stone. And he didn't say you can't stone her. He just basically, he let them judge themselves, see. And that's where the true judgment's going to have to come, us judging ourselves, to where we realize that without him, we're guilty of sin. We are guilty of sin, you know, all the time in every situation without him. Because he's the one who, he imparts his righteousness to us, you know. And once we realize that, then, you know, we can't go around all puffed up with our nose up in the air. Well, bless God, I'm a this or that or something, you know. We bow our head. I like what Jesus told about the man who, I can't remember the exact story, but where he talked about where the one guy said, God, I thank you, I'm like not like other men, I do this, I do that, and I do all these other things. And he said, but then there was another one who just bowed his head and said, and beat on his bosom, basically, and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And he said, who went out justified? Well, who went out justified? The one who had the reality of what he was without Christ, you know what I mean? And the other guy, you know, he was a Pharisee or whatever he was, and he was all haughty and, you know, had his nose up in the air, basically. I'm a good guy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And what we find out a lot of times with anybody is people will make the statement, why is this happening to me? You know, I never did anything, you know, rather than just saying to the Lord, Lord, you're in control of this. I'm going to trust you in the middle of this, you know, and that kind of thing. But I don't know.
Well, unfortunately, we live in a time where you can't hardly even say anything without somebody else wanting to judge it.
Oh, that's right. And that's
and,
true.
It's really sad. And I believe, you know, right now that God's moving in the world, and he's moving in those situations, in exactly those situations.
Mm-hmm.
When the time comes, I think there's going to be a lot of people who are going to fall. And it's
fall
it
on the name
and it's
of going the
to be, you know, things are going to be exposed.
Well,
and that's the way God works. He exposes
fall
the
on the rock,
and
yeah.
Just like you were saying,
or the rock falls on you.
Yes.
Well, either way, it's a breaking.
That's
know?
Right.
Well,
that's right.
It's just like you were saying.
Yeah.
The guy's beating on his chest, or like the people who are accusing the adulterers. You know, I don't know if Jesus said anything or not. Maybe he just drew the line and said, what do you think? And they saw
you.
The line and they're going, oh,
he's talking about me, you know? And what happens there, that's when your own inner self is the one, you judge yourself, and that's what God wants you to do.
Well, you know what the scripture says. Judgment will begin where?
At the house of the Lord.
At the house of the Lord. Who's the house of the Lord? Where's the house
Amen.
Of the Lord at?
Amen.
You are.
Amen.
You are.
Yes.
So it's going to begin right here. Well, what is that? That's where, like, what just what you were just saying, where he begins to reveal yourself to yourself. And it's not a very good thing when he starts revealing that, you know. And you have to say, well, Lord, I got to have you in this area and in this area and that area, you know, because he starts revealing to you that you fall short in those areas.
I was in a meeting yesterday, and I was saying, I've got a little saying I say to myself, you know, what were you thinking? You ever do something and then you go, what the heck was I thinking? What's that? That's myself judging myself. What made you think that was the right thing to do?
Yes.
I carried a piece of paper in my wallet for years and years and years until it just literally deteriorated and fell apart.
Here it is.
Yeah. Read it if you would, Kathy.
While I trust in myself, I am just as capable of falling into error, of being snared and destroyed by the lust of the flesh. Bitter has been my disappointment in many men I deemed worthy of trust, but bitter as gall has been my disappointment in myself. For I have found by experience that I am not one whit different from any other man. It is the mercy of God that we are taught these things, that we should no longer trust in man or in ourselves, but in God, who gives liberally of his grace a strength to all men who will forsake the arm of flesh and no longer trust in themselves, but in God, who makes us after the image of God. The moment we begin to see that we cannot trust in ourselves, then our self-righteousness begins to disappear. Good riddance. But when we realize that we are made of the same substance as the worst of God's enemies, we lose our power to criticize those who are our enemies. There are far too many men in this world who, like the Pharisees, thank God they are not like other men, but far too few Christians who realize that they are like other men, bow their head and beat their bosoms, crying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Mm-hmm. Wow, what a powerful.
That's a tremendous word there. I mean, you know, and that, I carried that in my billfold for years and years and years, until it just deteriorated, and then I finally retyped it up, you know, and that's why it's, you still got it, but,
praise
you know,
God.
That's a true word there, I tell you, and once we quit judging other people, then what we'll begin to do is we'll want to bring restoration to other people, and we'll want to bring reconciliation to other people, and that's what we're called to do. We've been given the ministry of reconciliation. And we've also been given the word of reconciliation, you know.
Every man's walk is a process.
Mm-hmm. It is.
And we progress from being that man without Christ to accepting Christ and to then beginning our journey. And it's a process into becoming just like Christ. And so, since it's a journey, no matter where anyone is on that journey. Mm-hmm. If they're, I mean, and they are all on that journey. Mm-hmm. Then, do we not have the calling to reconciliation rather than to judgment? Mm-hmm. And wow. I wanted to read this one thing that it says something about in verse 7, let's see this thing here. There's a footnote that says, this is in the Passion Translation. It says, it's talking about exposing our conflicts publicly before unbelievers. And there it has a footnote that says, Paul does not mean that we should passively acquiesce to abuse from others. Rather, he brings before us a higher principle. It is better to suffer personal injustice than to bring disgrace to Christ by bringing our conflicts before unbelievers. Now, then it says here, the spirit of wisdom is one of the graces that God pours out upon his people. You were talking about Solomon. Now, Solomon is like held up as, you know, the epitome of wisdom. Because he prayed and asked God, he could have asked God for anything. And he asked God for wisdom. And he was one of the greatest judges. You know, he had the perfect solution to almost any, you know, conflict that went on. The spirit of wisdom is one of the graces that God pours out upon his people. This anointing of wisdom empowers the body of Christ to bring justice and righteousness into the churches. Most scholars conclude that these disputes were not criminal, but issues related to personal, to business, to personal property, inheritance, and things like that. Okay, so it says there, the spirit of wisdom, and in this footnote it references this other footnote that says, see Ephesians 1:17. So I looked that up, and this is what I was talking about this morning when it says, and no matter what it is you're talking about, God gives you such a nugget of gold. And Ephesians, around 1:17, it says, okay, this is beautiful. I pray that the Father of glory, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, would impart to you the riches of the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation to know him through your deepening intimacy with him. That's the only way we're going to get wisdom, because the wisdom we're looking for is the character of God. We need intimacy with God, our Father, to get that wisdom. And then he goes on to say, not only do I pray for that, I pray that the light of God will illuminate the eyes of your imagination, flooding you with light until you experience the full revelation of the hope of his calling. This is so far above judging somebody's last will and testament. This is about having the wisdom that comes from the intimacy with the creator of the universe. It blew my mind when I read this. You might know the revelation of the hope of his calling. That is the wealth of God's glorious inheritances that he finds it already in us, his holy ones. Then he goes on to say, I pray more, even more, that you will continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power made available to you through faith. Then your lives will be an advertisement of his immense power as it works through you. I don't even want to stop reading it. It's so beautiful.
All of that in Ephesians is just wonderful.
Oh, I mean, it knocked me off my feet when I saw that. Find your wisdom before you go judging others. He even talks about that here in 1 Corinthians. Paul has an awful lot of irony in the things that he's saying to these people. Some of what he's saying is, you know, isn't there one among you that has the wisdom to judge these things? Can't you find that in yourselves rather than dragging someone into the court of unbelievers? You know, when will you find the wisdom that God has already given you to judge one another with wisdom, with maturity, with love, you know, with expectance of bringing them on ahead.
I think what we do is we'll soon find out where our feet are standing. You know, it has to be standing in the foundation work of Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. because that's the only way that we'll be able to stand. Mm-hmm. Remember, there's a scripture there where it says, and having done all, stand. Mm-hmm. That's not standing in yourself, mm-hmm. or even standing alone, to be honest with you.
That's right.
That's standing in his presence and him standing in you on his foundation that no other man can lay. I mean, it's our identity. It really is. It's our identity to Christ. When people see our identity to Christ, they'll hear the words of life coming out of us. I'm sitting up over here thinking while I'm listening to you guys talk, why does the scripture say, why does God say, choose ye life or choose ye death? And then he's got to remind them to choose life.
Yeah.
I mean, could it be that their feet is not standing on the foundation of Christ?
Exactly.
And I'm not talking about as judge. I'm talking right here, the mirror image right here. Where you look in that mirror, if that mirror has got any way of shifting their feet, meaning, you know, in here today and gone tomorrow, if there any way that that's happening, that ought not to be. When we're with him, the foundation's laid, stand on the foundation, and like what Mike said, everything else will take the place it's supposed to be, the proper place.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because our feet are in the proper place.
Well, think about what it says in the King James. It says, I've set before you life and death,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then he tells them, choose life.
Like, duh.
And think about what was said in Genesis. In the day that you eat thereof, you shall what?
Surely die.
Surely die. Mm-hmm. So every time that we eat of that knowledge of good and evil and make that determination, then what are we doing? We're pronouncing death upon ourselves in that area.
That's right.
Right then, we're killing ourselves, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And we're killing our testimony. We're killing a lot of things, you know, when it happens. And that's where, you know, we have to quit trying to judge everything like that. And just, you know, like I told the story with the wise old Chinaman, you know,
yeah.
How do you know? We don't know. And I love when you go through the Old Testament, especially when the old patriarchs would have an epiphany to where the Lord appeared to them in some way, you know. And they would be talking, and then they would ask him, well, don't you know what this is? You know, the angel or whatever it would be. And their answer, if they were in the right place, their answer would be, you know, but I don't know. Basically is what you're saying. You know, thou knowest. Well, what do you mean by that? You're going to have to reveal it to me if you want me to know. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And see, that's the thing, is that, you know, you should never be ashamed or feel bad about what you don't know. You know,
mm-hmm.
you should be willing to admit, I don't know, you know. And I know a lot of people will not do that. Some people will just not say they don't know. You know what I mean? They'll act like they know, or they'll give their opinion, which their opinion is usually going to be wrong, because opinions are like noses. Everybody's got one, and they're all different, you know. And, you know, I love one definition of the word opinion. I can't remember which dictionary I got it out of. I might have got it out of Funk and Wagnalls, or I'm not sure which one. But it basically said something that falls short of the truth.
Right.
And that's exactly what opinions are. They're something that falls short of the truth. And the truth is what? Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And if it's going in any direction but in his direction, guess what?
Falling short.
It's an opinion, and it's falling short, yeah. You know. And
what is sin?
Yeah.
Falling short.
Well, that's why I try and start every day with thank you, Lord, for another day, and let me walk in your will, and give me the wisdom to understand it. Not the knowledge, the wisdom.
Wisdom, yeah.
Because there's a difference.
Well, and let me ask you a question. What is the difference between wisdom and knowledge? I mean, there's a difference. There's a definite distance.
Yeah.
You know how you obtain wisdom? Through experience.
That's right.
And you take someone who has, it's like, well, it's like I was having trouble with my car out there for a week or so, and it wouldn't start sometimes. I'd drive it somewhere and turn it off, and sometimes it'd start and sometimes it wouldn't start. You know, took me a while to get it figured out. Clyde had to come and pick me up the other day. It was at McDonald's, and my car wouldn't start. I didn't have no tools with me, so I couldn't do anything. But anyway, the difference is that I could have went and read all the mechanical books about what they said, but when I started trying to really find out what was wrong with it, you know where I went? I went to YouTube, and I told them what my problem was, and then all of these guys popped up that had those problems and could tell me how to fix it. Yeah. And I knew things about that car that I didn't know about that car, you know what I mean? And I did put a new ignition switch on it and a couple other things, but it ended up where it was something simple. In the end, the battery cable, the cable part, not the part that clamps onto the battery itself, but the actual cable had a strap that went across it, and one side of the strap was loose. It was just finger tight. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know how it got like that, because I never did fool with it. The other side was tightened down tight. Well, sometimes it would get enough electricity through there to where it would start the car. Other times it wouldn't, and it would just, and then stuff would flash on the dashboard. Well, all I had to do was tighten that one screw.
Hallelujah. Sometimes
and when I tighten that one screw, it's doing fine. You know, it's starting every time. But a lot of times that's the difference between wisdom and knowledge. Wisdom is experience. It's you had experience in the thing. And that's why sometimes we have to realize that tribulation works patience, and patience what? Experience. And we go through experience, and makes us not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, you know. And we have to go through a lot of things to where we come to realize, have you ever judged something about somebody or a situation and walked away, and as soon as you walked away, the Lord started dealing with you and said, well, look what you did the other day. You know, and he brings that to your mind, and you think, oh my God, I shouldn't have said a word. I didn't have the right to say anything about that part.
What was I thinking?
Yeah, what was I thinking? Exactly. And because, you know, hey, I've done that same daggone thing, you know.
Amen.
And but you know, that's the thing about God's wisdom, is that it's through his experience. He will give you experiences to go through that gives you that wisdom. And James says, if you lack wisdom,
Ask God.
And if you ask him, you know. And I'll be honest with you, when I found that loose wire, I said, Lord, please help me with this thing. I don't know what to do with it, you know, because I replaced some things on it. And I was going down the list, and I had a mechanic that had put a new starter in my car about 4 years ago, and I took it back to him because it wasn't starting and stuff. And he took the starter out and put a new starter in there and didn't charge me. He said, because you had a guarantee on that starter.
Well,
he says, he didn't charge me labor or nothing. He put a brand new starter in my car. And it wasn't, he probably wasn't even the starter.
Like a starter.
You know, but even with him, he didn't really know, you know what I mean? And, you know, and I grabbed them wires and I started pulling on them a little, you know, shaking them a little bit. And I told Margaret, I said, here, I can't start the car and do this at the same time. You start the car when I tell you. And she started the car, and I started wiggling the wires around, and I saw sparks jumping. Mm-hmm. And I thought, something's wrong here. And then I reached up and started fiddling around with them screws, and I got to that one side, and I could, just by hand.
It probably wiggled loose as you were.
Well,
that's a perfect example.
And it's some simplest thing, very basic, simplest thing it could have been, it was, you know.
That's exactly what I was going to say. That's a perfect example of, here's a guy, it's got to be the starter. And I remember you said last week, the guy said, well, it probably might be the alderman, you know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's the biggest thing. Right. It really wasn't the biggest thing.
It was
the smallest thing.
Right. Right, and see, we should learn lessons even from the things of the natural. Do what?
Declare
the things of the spirit. Mm-hmm. A lot of times we're thinking of this big old thing. Well, if I did this big old thing here, everything would be okay. And then a lot of times it's just God will take you back, and if you did the simplest thing, it's the first. You might eliminate the whole problem. You
think
know.
It's come, the end of the world is coming, and it's not.
Yeah. But you know, you learn as you go.
What's J.B. Phillips said? If reality was to break forth, and I believe that's what's going on.
Yeah,
reality
it is
breaking
it
forth.
Is.
Let's face it, a lot of times we guess.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a lot of times when it's a guess, mm-hmm. we're dependent on luck.
Right.
And the Lord's taught me, if you believe in luck, he goes like this, then you don't believe in me.
Mm-hmm.
I go, okay, quit believing in luck. Whatever he wants is how it's going to be.
Yeah.
I need to make an adjustment, a fine tuning of this device, all things.
Yeah. Well, and my mom one time, her friend Christine, her husband Ralph had sugar diabetes pretty bad, and he had a reaction, and apparently, I mean, he was on the floor and he was just messed up, and she tried giving him sugar or something to try to counteract to whatever the insulin or whatever it was or and different things, and nothing was working that she did. And she was a Christian, and her mother and another lady used to have a lot of prayer meetings together, and they'd pray and stuff. They'd get her to pray. And anyway, she said, after a few minutes, it was like Christine said, the Lord spoke to her and said, why don't you try me? And she said, I prayed, and she said, right after I prayed over him, he popped right out of it. You know? But we go to everything else first. Not to the simplest thing first, you know, and the simplest thing should always be to ask the Lord to help us, you know, in a situation. And usually we don't do that. We go the other way, and then we go through a lot more aggravation and a lot more trouble and everything else because we go to everything else first instead of going to the source of everything, the simplest thing first, you know. But she basically heard the Lord speak inside of her and said, why don't you try me? And she started praying for him, he popped right out of it, you know. But I don't know. We do some weird stuff sometimes.
Mikey, wanna close in a word of prayer?
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. For the words we've heard today, Lord, it is the simplest stuff, and that's you. Just come to you, Lord, with whatever's going on in our life. And Father, we just ask that you give us the wisdom to start doing that in every situation, because we just find it easier to kind of put you on the back shelf and try to fix it on our own.
Mm-hmm.
So, Lord, we just give you all the praise and glory for what you're doing in our lives today. And bless the service as we go forth. And amen.
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 Praise the Lord.